Okay. What I want to talk about is Hamantashen. There's actually a remez in Daf Yud Gimel to Hamantashen and how we eat Hamantashen. So what I want to talk about is the history and the hashkafa and some of the reasons behind Hamantashen, even though we have a bit till Purim, but you can't prepare too early for Purim. So let's begin. There's a beautiful story told by Rav Yehuda Le Maimon in the Sefer Sare Mea, which he records. It's really the greatest collection of all the Gedolim stories of Europe, like the last 500 years. So he tells a story about Rav Yaakov, the father of the Netziv, that one Erev Purim, he went out to the Shuk to buy treats for the holiday, to buy Hamantashen, and he saw there was no Hamantashen available. And he asked the bakers, what's going on? And he said that it's a bad year for the crops, and the flour is very expensive, and the bakers couldn't afford the flour for Shabbos. And therefore, if I can't afford flour for Shabbos, I'm going to have extra flour for Hamantashen. We can't pay for it. It's too much. So Rav Yaakov, the father of the Netziv, heard what was going on. He called all the bakers in the city together, and he gave them each 30 pieces of gold. And he told them, you have to go buy flour for Hamantashen. Every year it can't be a change, because this is Minag Yisrael, and it's usher to be mevatel the Minag of eating Hamantashen. And one of the Talmidei Chachamim in Mir asked Rav Yaakov, what are you getting so worked up for? It's Hamantashen. Well, relax. What's the big deal? You don't have Hamantashen this year. So certainly Minhagim are important, but come on, every once in a while, you're going to put 30 gold pieces to every baker so you can get Hamantashen. It's a little bit much. So Rav Yaakov said that Oznei Haman, as they are called in Hebrew, the Haman's ears, as we call them, have three corners. Why? To remind us of the pasuk in Esther that says, Belaila lehu, nedadosh nas hamelech, that on that night the king couldn't sleep. And the Medrash says that it was bothering the sleep of the three avos, Avram, Yitzchak and Yaakov. That's the exactly. That's the turning point. So who couldn't sleep? That the Avos, Avram, Yitzchak and Yaakov, were woken up in Maras HaMachpelah because of what was happening to Klal Yisrael. And because of the merit of the three Avos and the strength of Haman was weakened, it was Tush. Tush means to be weakened, like Tushya. The Torah takes away our strength. So therefore, we call the desserts Haman Tush. That Haman was weakened. And therefore, it's so important to have this dessert on the holiday of Purim.
Does it say when that
meal
started?
So there's a bit of discussion. If you look in the academic works on desserts in Judaism, they'll tell you that it was probably already a common Ashkenazi dessert that was adopted, and then it was kind of probably taken on at a certain point. Probably in the 14, 15, 1600s in Germany, already there was something like it. We'll get to the ingredients in a second. This will be important.
I was going to say, the idea of making a three-cornered something.
It probably already existed in some form before we adopted it. That's
the hat.
So good. So let's go through some other... What? We're going to get to this. So there is folklore that describes the three points of the three-pointed hat that Haman supposedly wore, like they had in revolutionary times as well, but it's unlikely that George Washington and Haman wore the same style hat. But that's what they like to point out. Maybe. In addition, the joke they like to say in the yeshivas is that the reason why Haman Tashin have three corners, because if it had four corners, it would be Chayv and Sitzis. That's the yeshivas joke they like to say. And then the other question is, well, if that's the case, then how come matzah has four corners? Because it's at night, and at night it's not Chayv and Sitzis. So that's the other joke I like to say is that in Satmar, they were baking Hamantashen one year, and two Hamantashen fell on each other, and it made a Magen David. They had to throw out the whole batch. So the Gemara in Erechin says that Lashon Hara kills three people. And our Gemara says that there was no greater Baal Lashon Hara than Haman. And Lashon Hara kills the speaker, the subject, and the person who's listening. The Megillah speaks about Torah, Avod, and Chesed, another three. And also in the Miracle of Purim, there's Tzom, Kol, and Mamon, Tzedakah, Davening, and Fasting. There's also Kadosh Baruch Hu, Klal Yisrael, and the Torah as well. We're all strengthened on Purim. That's another three. And Rav Avdi Yosef writes in his work Imre Ovadia on page Kufches that it's the three times Amalek attacked us in the Midbar in Eretz Yisrael and with Haman, and therefore we highlight the ears because it says Vesim Ba'azne Yehoshua, that that Yoshua has to remember the lesson, that it's Aznei, the Oznaim, the ears, because the Jewish people have to remember and continuously remind ourselves of the lesson of Amalek and Haman. The Sefer Chemdas Yamim on Purim in Perek Dalet cites a medrash that we don't really have that says that when Haman came back from leading Mordechai around on the horse, he was Evel V'chafi Rosh, right? He was upset, he was sad because his daughter threw garbage on him and his head was covered. V'aznav Mekutafos, and his ears were like beaten in. He was pummeled, and therefore it's called Aznei Haman. Also regarding the ears of Haman, the Rabbeinu Bachya writes in Parshas Korach that two wealthy people had their downfall because they listened to the bad advice of their wife, Korach and Haman. So again, we highlight the ears. And Rav Shimshon Nachmani says that it's a reference to our ears, because our ears didn't pay attention to the Nevi'im, who told us, you have to do tshuva, you have to come back to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And only when Haman came along, did our ears pick up. Did we pay attention? We know that the Gemara says that all it took was for the ring of Achashverosh to go onto the hand of Haman, and that did more for Klal Yisrael than all of the Musar throughout the generations. A tzar for Klal Yisrael does more than all of the Musar Shmuzin from the Nevi'im, and therefore they're called the Aznaim of Klal Yisrael. It's the ears of Klal Yisrael that are influenced by Haman. The Sefer Menucha Kedusha, which is written by the Talmud of Chaim Volozhin, writes in Chelek Beis that Haman Tashin are filled with something hidden. And this hints to the hidden nature of the miracles of Purim in a time of exile of Hester Panim. We don't necessarily experience the open miracles. And Baram Purim shows us that you don't have to have something open. Even a Kadosh Baruch Hu can be right with us even when things are hidden and things are covered up as well. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu is ever present, just like the filling inside the dough of the Haman Tashim. And again, he gives another reason, based on the Alshech, who explains that the Purim story, many Jews didn't believe they were going to be completely wiped out. And Mordechai convinced them of the seriousness of the threat by sending all these letters warning them of the impending doom. How did Mordechai convince them of what was going to happen? How did he get these letters out without being found out, without Haman knowing, without Achashverosh knowing? So the Alshech says they sent the letters hidden in pastries, and therefore that's how the Jewish people found out about the seriousness of the situation, and they got themselves back on track. In the beautiful Sefer B'Mechitzas Rabbeinu, which brings things from Yaakov Kamenetsky, he says that we eat Haman Tashin, and eating is a form of destroying the item being eaten, and therefore, when we eat the Haman Tashin, it's a figurative form of Mechias Amalek. It's like you're eating Haman, so to speak. And perhaps that's why we could suggest that's why it says V'yachlu es Haman, they ate Haman, and therefore you're Mekayim Mechias Amalek. So let's talk about our daf in specific. Nowadays you can find Haman Tashin with all different types of filling, sweet or savory. I know last year on all the magazines it was a very big Indian to have savory Haman Tashin, but the classic Haman Tashin are always filled with poppy seeds. And indeed, the very word Haman can either refer to the Haman, who is a Rasha, or poppy seeds. In the German, Mun is poppy seeds. And the Yiddish word Tush means a pocket. So a Haman Tashin means a pocket of poppy seeds. And this is in line with the Shulchan Aruch, who says it's important to eat seeds on Purim in memory of Daniel and his friends who ate in the house of the king of Babel. But what does it have to do with Purim? So the Gemara here says that Esther's messenger was Daniel. And the Gemara says that the food wasn't kosher in the palace of Achashverosh. So what did they eat? Seeds. Daniel gave seeds to Esther, and that's how she survived. And therefore, when you eat Haman Tashin, and you eat Papa seed Haman Tashin, which I think is not the most popular Haman Tashin, but nevertheless, when you eat poppy seed Haman Tashin, you're being Mekayim, you're connecting to the idea that Esther ate seeds in the palace, and you're getting in touch, you're relating to that idea of the miracle of Purim, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected her and took care of her in the king's palace. Rav Yitzhak Ritzabi, who's one of the great Yemenite Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael in Bnei Brak, so he writes in his Shulchan Aruch HaMakutzer in Simen Kuf Chaf Gimel that he doesn't like the idea that we eat things that are tamei. You eat something that's called after Haman, he thinks the Ashkenazim came up with a bad minhag. He always likes to attack Ashkenazim and Hagim, so it's not the first time. But he says, you're going to eat something that's called after Haman, it's not appropriate. And therefore he suggests you should call them Ugiot Purim, Purim cookies. I don't think that caught on.
But is there like a timeline as far as like when the minhag really came out? Like you have these sources, like when the, because even like, is
Yeah, so nothing is really started up till like the 1600s, 1500s, something like that. It's not so far back. By Hasidim, the meaning is you'd Hamantashen from Purim all the way until the Shabbos for Pesach. So if you want to be Mekayim, the Minhag Hasidim, the poppy seed, chalk, whatever it may be. But we see that the Minhag has a holy source and has holy Minhagim as well. And we should eat Hamantashen on Purim. Okay, stop here.